Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action at home to Crystal Palace. Premier League, it's the only competition they're left in, one game a week pretty much. And this is a big game, like they all are. I mean, it's an opportunity for United to go third in the Premier League. Let's hope we see a better football match than the one I witnessed on Monday night. Yes, Manchester United got the result, but it was an awful game of football, the worst game of football I've seen, I think, since the Europa League final. And as I say, when you win those games, everything's okay in regards of, you know, at that moment. Obviously, for a final, it's finite. But look at where Spurs are now. They're struggling, and this could be Manchester United next season if they don't... they do qualify for the Champions League and they don't actually resolve the squad issues that they do have, which they would when you're playing two games a week. I mean, I know they've tried to PR up the financial results. Basically, what the financial results mean is the debt is even more. And as I say, anyone who thinks that the scum parasite Glazers are a positive for this football club, Sir Rat, who thinks they're nice people, is delusional. Barada can talk all he wants to try and say how great the numbers look. Manchester United are a shambles of a football club in and around how the squad is set up. I mean, look, let's take, for example, Mason Mount, a player that has cost United probably about £85 million so far since he's joined this football club, and he's done nothing for them. Well done, Myrta Magic, I was told about that, shambles. But for United, they just need to get results. Obviously, unbeaten under Carrick, I think, is it 5 wins in a draw? But for me, the performances have regressed as each game has gone on. Is that Michael Carrick's fault? Well, we know it's the players' fault, because these players, when they're put under a little bit of pressure, they can't handle it. And so far, it's all been sweetness and light. But now the pressure is on. Obviously, it looked like it will be top 5 for Champions League. It's the only focus United have, because they can't win the trophy. But as I say, it's a very, very tight league in there at the moment. And, you know, a couple of bad results, and you'll drop down the table. And I think teams can't just assume, oh, we're playing Crystal Palace, they're only a bit of a bad run, they played 3 days ago. You can't just assume that result's going to come. I mean, you look at Burnley. Burnley had an amazing game yesterday, but unfortunate because of the way things happened with VAR. But nobody would have thought 3-0 down against a very well-performing Brentford this season. There's no way Burnley are coming back. They said you got it back to 3-3. Didn't get a goal at VAR, 4-3, and then they lost due to a late goal. But then they had one chalked off right at the end, so it could have been 4-4. So, you know, you have to be right on the money when you're playing any team in the Premier League. And as I say, even Wolves now, they've improved a lot as the season has gone on. Obviously, they're probably going to be going down, but they have improved a lot, and they're not the same guaranteed 3-point team that you would have had at the start of the season. So United's team, just one change, Sesko comes in for Ahmad. There had to be a change. Sesko obviously coming on and scoring the winner against Everton, equaliser against West Ham, the winner against Fulham. So, you know, he's had good opportunities for off the bench. This is his chance to start. Ahmad is the one that has dropped out. He hasn't been on his best form, so maybe coming off the bench. We're looking at the bench looks weak for forward options. So, and as I say, it'll be interesting to see how sort of, if the game isn't going well for Manchester United, how Carrick changes that. So it's Lemenza goal. And I should give credit to him for his performance against Everton. He really well at the corners. That's what corners are like now. United are going to have to keep doing that in that regard. Then it's Yoro and Maguire's centre backs. It is Dallow and Shaw. It's the full backs, the midfield three, and Bruno Fernandes, Kobbie Mainoo, and Casemiro is one that got away with me that I talked about. Bruno, Luke Shaw, Maguire is meant to be a leader. Casemiro is meant to be a leader. He was awful against Everton. Let's be honest, most of the team were awful. And then further forward, it's Sesko through the middle. Then I'm assuming it'll be Mbeumo on the right with Cunha on the left. I will be back post-match. I'm just actually heading into the ground a little bit early so I can catch the end of the Rangers-Celtic game. Celtic have just scored a goal, so it's actually after being dominated in the first half, and they're dominating the second half. As I say, football can change very, very quickly in a match, but you have to keep your finger on the pulse and ready, whether you play well or badly in the first or second half or during the period of the game. And as I say, this is the problem the United players do have. They seem to think when things are going nice, easy, sweet, and light, everything's fine. But you put them under a bit of pressure, that's where you learn about players and teams and leadership within that team. So as I say, I will be back post-match. I'd say I'm back at Old Trafford, first match for 3 months. Let's hope it's a better performance than the last one I saw, which was against West Ham. So we'll see. I'll be back later. On the walk back from Old Trafford, it's finished Manchester United 2, Crystal Palace 1. Lacroix is the name. He is the key man in this match. And he turned in Palace's favour. And then a foul on Cunha, a soft one at that, turned it into Manchester United's favour. The United did their best to throw away the opportunity to move up to third place. They managed to secure it, but the first half, absolutely awful. And I've spoken about this before, I'll say it again. These players, weak mentality, minimal football intelligence. So there were a couple of them actually showed sensible football intelligence today for a change. It does take time for that to change, but these players, they'll be the arbiter of whether Manchester United qualify for the Champions League or not. A performance like this, they got away with it today because of a penalty and a red card, and that was the turning point in the match. In the first half, United started off slowly, standard pretty much. Unless a new manager comes in and they've got to actually impress the new manager. As I say, Michael Carrick has been here some time now, a couple of months. But a simple corner, Yoro bullied off the ball, header from Lacroix into the back of the net within the first 5 minutes of the game. Guy sat next to me, Scott, was talking about United. Oh, hey, I'm scared. They were panicking. And it's like, my thought process was, what an absolute crap goal to give away. But we've got 85 minutes to actually get the goals back. And you have to sort of settle down, and you have to sort of have a way of playing that can put pressure on Crystal Palace. As I mentioned, they're not playing one game a week pretty much. Palace played less than 72 hours ago, and they look by far the better team, look by far the fitter team. They were putting in much more energy, just simple passing drills they could do, and Manchester United couldn't. And in that first half, it looked more likely for Crystal Palace to score another goal than for Manchester United to get an equaliser. As the half wore on, United did push themselves a bit further forward. A header from Harry Maguire was cleared off the line. I think it was Mitchell that cleared it off the line. I don't know, Henderson may have got to it actually, but it was cleared sort of not right on the line, but just sort of before the line. Sesko had a header, but it was just a simple save for Dean Henderson. Then to the second half, United players were sent out early, and I'm not surprised. Luke Shaw did go off injured in the first half, I should mention that. As I say, playing one match in 3 weeks, and players going off injured. Luke Shaw, that's standard for him. Late in the game, Harry Maguire went off, and all the talks about him getting a new contract. His agents did a brilliant job by getting him a 6+1 deal at 190 grand a week. United should be going in and saying 50, 200 grand a week if you want a new contract, because he's getting injured. If you can only play 4 or 5 games, even if you play well and then you're injured for 4 or 5 games, there's no point. United need players that actually can last the pace, basically, and then it does cause issues defensively for United. But thankfully, as I say, they've only played one game a week, so they possibly might be able to get away with it. Obviously, we'll have to hear what the extent of those injuries are. But into the second half, and basically the key moment, Cunha breaking through on the left-hand side. Lacroix did sort of grab at him, but he did carry on into the area, but it was soft. It was soft. Cunha, I was at the other end of the ground, but Cunha 100% made sure that he got into the box before he went down. And the key thing was the referee going to actually give the decision, because he did give a penalty. He did have to go at the screen because he needed to check if it was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. Dogzo, as it's called, and you listen to Mike Tupp, So with the ref giving the penalty, I had to go to the screen check for Dog, so it would have been a goal-scoring opportunity. Yes, the foul was soft, and you know, but that's the football intelligence of Matias Cunha. You would hope other players on our team would have some football intelligence. I mean, Bruno Fernandes didn't today. He seems to be playing in place of Benjamin Sesko as the main striker. But it took some time for the 6 minutes, according to a message that I got on another group. I just spent the time discussing what the situation was in regards of the, you know, is it a penalty? If it's not a penalty, if the ref hadn't given the penalty, I don't think that they would change the decision of the referee. So the fact that he gave the decision, obviously when he went to the screen, we're thinking, are they not going to give the penalty? But then looking on people's phones, they were talking about they were looking at the line, and they were looking at sort of the wider angle. So you were thinking to yourself, well, they've agreed with the decision, but they have to get him there to decide whether it's a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. It's not for him to have a look at the actual situation. And in the end, it was a red card to Lacroix, a penalty, and it was a red card to Lacroix. Bruno Fernandes stood up to take the penalty, sent Dean Henderson the wrong way. Henderson has a good record of saving penalties. I mean, again, further discussion with my friend Harry about similar thing happened against Brentford. If the player wasn't sent off when he should have been, and Bruno missed the penalty, and people gave the excuse, well, he had to wait so long. These are professional footballers, for heaven's sake. But, you know, and I mean, he'd given the excuse of having walking into the referee a time before. It's ridiculous. Just get on with it, put the ball to the back of the net, because those tiny little things make a difference. Well, I say tiny, missing the penalty is a massive, massive issue, and earlier missed penalties in the season cost United points, and situations like today could have cost United points. But they got that goal, but again at 1-1 you're thinking, well, they've got 10 men, we should be seeing this game out. But you know, with this Manchester United side, that is not always the case. Look at the Chelsea game, look at the Brighton game, matches that they could have easily thrown away. So as I say, United with 11, V10, this should be a game that you can see out quite comfortably. As I say, not this Manchester United side, but Bruno Fernandes started for a short period to actually do things that we expected to, finding space and creating for the players. Brilliant cross from the right-hand side. Sesko, bullet header into the back of the net. 2-1 to Manchester United, a turnaround within that 10 minutes. And you're thinking at that point, you know, let's get a third goal. And they did have a great opportunity. Casemiro at the back post, he should be putting it in the back of the net. Great save from Henderson, but he should be burying that into the back of the net. But at least put United two goals up against him. And, but this was the problem. If you'd have come from space and watched that game, you wouldn't actually know which team had 10 men. Palace were finding gaps and spaces in that midfield. It was just like one pass round the players and straight through onto the defence, running at the defence, and Lemens had to make a couple of saves, all routine saves. But Palace had opportunities, and you know, United, when you're only a goal up, and I'll go back to the Spurs game, fair play to Spurs, went down to 10 men, went a goal behind, but they managed to keep it tight pretty much until the last 10 minutes, and then it took a fantastic Bruno Fernandes finish. Yeah, fair enough, the Spurs keeper was good on that day, but United aren't clinical, seeing finishing teams off, because if you're allowed to, as I say, this Premier League, if you look at it, Manchester United are now third, and they're not very good. I'll say that now. They are not very good. Despite the top two and the bottom two, there's not that much between the rest of the league. I mean, obviously there is in relation to points. But in regards to what I've seen on the pitch, in regards to teams in similar-ish areas, or similar-ish points, because it's concentrated in the middle, there is not that much, and anything can happen on any given day. There's no guarantee. You know, you do need things to sort of fall for you in some cases. It does help when Romero does a ridiculous challenge. It does help when if the ref doesn't give the penalty like today, it's VAR aren't going to change it. He did give it, and VAR again, they're not going to change it. You know, in Brentford's case, that when they didn't have Nathan, I think it was Nathan Cook who should have got set. Was it Nathan Cook? An Irish player plays for
it's not Cook, I don't think. I mean, yeah, Nathan Collins, but he should have been sent off. You do need little things coming your way. Say against Everton, it took £200 million worth of players to get that goal in a match. Neither side deserved to actually win. United were sort of 2-1 up. But apart after the Casemiro opportunity, it was pretty much a 50-50 game. Yes, United did have a lot of possession, but I never like it when United try and keep possession because I don't think they actually know what to do with the possession. It is literally possession for possession's sake. There was not really much incisiveness. Ahmad did have a couple of opportunities that Henderson saved, one with his right foot. That Henderson got his fingertips to. I'd say Ahmad looked dangerous when he came on, obviously with the extra bit of pace. He was sort of playing through the middle at one point. But as I say, I will go back to the Sesko goal. There was another cross that came in that Sesko should really have been on the end of. But United don't put crosses into the box. They need to get crosses into the box. And my friend Harry, he did say, United were still trying to hit the ball long when Xerxes came on, but why not keep Sesko on, because he was holding them up or was able to flick them on. He was much better in that way. But United, there was 8 minutes of added on time. Obviously there were some stoppages, and say Harry Maguire did go off. So United's back four finished with Dalot, Yoro, Heaven, and Mazraoui did a good job when he came on for Luke Shaw. So a little bit of a concern with Yoro, because Palace were basically just bullying him. They targeted him. He got bullied for the goal, and they were targeting him with Lance Strassen, just booting the ball up to Lance Strassen, and Yoro was struggling. He was struggling to deal with that. And maybe it's in the Premier League as a defender, you are going to have to deal with that. But as I say, it's probably going to be Yoro and Aidan Heaven as the centre backs against Newcastle. So we need our centre backs to stay fit. We need our players to stay fit, because you can see big gaps in that United squad. After the Newcastle game on Wednesday, there's an 11-day break before the next match, and maybe players will come back. But there's still deficiencies in that Manchester United side. You can see the weaknesses. As I say, struggling to beat a 10-man Crystal Palace, needing a little thing like could argue whether it's a soft penalty or not, but needing that kind of thing, and essentially it came down to the referee's decision in that situation. And then see them going down to 10 men. I mean, if it had been if United had equalised and gone 1-1 with the penalty, and Palace had 11 players on the pitch, so nobody would be surprised if Palace won, because as I say, they look decent with 10 men, let alone with 11. And as I say, I know that their tactic was to keep a tight low block, but United at home, it's your job to beat whatever's put in front of you. And United didn't look like they, as well, didn't really look like they had too many ideas until they got the penalty and the red card. So although, as I say, put cuts into the box for Sesko, you can do that when it's 11v11, please, especially if he's starting the match. But to say, big result, up to third. But as I say, it's a very tight little area, that. And as I say, you've got the Arsenal-Chelsea game to come. And obviously, we want Arsenal to win in that regard, because it puts Chelsea further points behind us. But at the end of the day, you've got to do it yourself. Because if you do it yourself, then you've got no excuses. Yes, you can limp over the line to get into position in the Premier League, but you've got to do it yourself. You don't want to rely on others, because if you're relying on others, you can't have a complain or moan when those others don't even try too hard. As I say, I've been following the Scottish Premier League this season. I don't know. I think Hibs fans are thinking, why did we beat Celtic last week? Because that result could give Hearts the league title. As I say, for Hearts, maybe they'll just think, yeah, the manager will say we've got to do it ourselves, instead of hoping with their points lead that they have at the moment. So, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up at Fairs Podcast platform, such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Pcast, Podbean. Search MUFC Global and you will find out Dennis, just to say a big thanks to Dennis for his input on the previous pod. I sort of thought possibly could get him on for today's pod, but I am actually seeing him later, but I don't have a lot of time for this next pod because we've actually got a midweek game. But I will be planning to maybe get him on for the Villa game, possibly, if he's about. But if not, there's some other games, so we'll get his considered views. He was very sensible in that Everton game. Yeah, he does have more extreme views about Manchester United, but I think the actual awfulness of the game took it out of both of us, basically. And, you know, for me, it's just like, well, at least we won. And then sort of part of that is the same again. We couldn't be any worse than we were against Everton, but you're likely going to have to improve performance because you're not always going to be play against a team that's down to 10 men. And you're going to have better teams coming at you. And as I say, one of those is going to be Newcastle, who haven't won a home match since January. I think it's since January, basically. They've lost a lot of matches. As I say, I was out yesterday with Dennis. He was very pleased that Everton got the result at Newcastle yesterday. So it's up to United to go there and try and get a result themselves. But I mean, it'd be classic United if they're the only team that Newcastle have beaten at home in two months on Wednesday night. But they need to step up. As I say, it'll be a different kind of game. But United, they're basically just one-dimensional. Can only play on the break when teams actually have a go at them, because the best they've got was against Manchester City. A lot of possession for Manchester City that game, and United completely deserved to win that game, but they exploited the spaces that were there. But United don't seem to be able to do very much when the spaces aren't there. They don't seem to have a way. The player, maybe it's bit by bit, the coaching has more opportunities with the coaching than maybe they will be able to, because as I say, there's like 9 or 10 games left. And they're in a fantastic position to at least sort of say the thing they can do now to call it to the chassis a success. And I'm doing that thing with my fingers, basically. Yeah, a success. Yeah, right. It's qualifying for the Champions League, but they actually need that to qualify for the Champions League more for the financial side than actually for the football side, because again, at this football club, football isn't the priority, unfortunately. They're scrabbling around in desperation, and as I say, next season, if they do qualify Champions League, they're going to need a much bigger squad and a much more especially in the midfield. Not bought a midfielder for since Ugarte. Ridiculous, and we're meant to be a big football club. We're not. We're just scrabbling around the edges and hoping desperately we can qualify for the Champions League next season, and then more PR spin can come. But as I say, a victory, and next up will be Newcastle away, and I will be back after that game. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back Wednesday night.